You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Kyler Murray chose football over baseball yesterday. Now the attention turns to where he could be drafted. The New York Giants have the sixth pick, but according to SNY, Kyler is, quote, probably a little too small for them. Kyler is listed at 5'10", and the Giants historically haven't had a starting QB under 6 feet tall since 1966. But fans are clamoring for a quarterback change, with Eli failing to make the playoffs for two straight years. We are joined now by FS1 NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh, who finally made it through the LA traffic to get here in the studio. LA traffic is no joke.
Brutal.
Well, we are happy to have you here. But do you think Kyler Murray is too small, 5'10"?
That's hard to say. We've never seen this. It's unprecedented to see a quarterback of his. He's short, but Baker Mayfield is short, but he's thick. Russell Wilson is short, but he's thick. Kyler Murray, he has a narrow frame. He's a small-bodied guy. If you're going to draft Kyler Murray, in my opinion, you have to tailor your offense to him. You can't make him run my offense. Keep him in a shotgun. Perfect situation would be Arizona, but will they draft him number one after drafting Josh Rosen last year? The Raiders probably could use him, but I don't see John Gruden changing his offense. He's a small guy. It's unprecedented, but the way he played at Oklahoma, I'm taking him.
Really?
I'm taking him, and I'm going to tailor my offense around. He's had too much production for you to think he can't be successful in the NFL.
But how high would you take him?
Top 10 for sure. And he has options. This is also unprecedented. Draft him lower than he wants to be drafted. I'm going to just go play baseball. He has options, so he's one of the first guys put language in his contract that he doesn't like. I'll just go play baseball. He has options that nobody in the NFL has had when you get drafted this high. If he doesn't like the terms or where he's drafted, he can just go play baseball. And so he has a lot of leverage in this situation.
Here's the thing, if you're a GM too, you're putting yourself out there if you draft him and it's always the case whenever you make a high draft pick. But because he's a smaller guy, whether or not he'll work out, will that be, because I've already seen the Giants are talking about Haskins rather than him. If he was the Heisman Trophy winner, the new hotness, why wouldn't the Giants, take a look and say, just all the stuff you said, put him in the shotgun, do this, do that, you got talented receivers. Why would the Giants not grab a guy like this?
To me, the coach, and you know this, coaches in the NFL, they want to run their system. This is what I do. You figure it out. And the smart coaches say, okay, we're going to tailor our offense around you. I mean, you look at Baker Mayfield when they fired Hugh. They started doing a lot of things he did at Oklahoma, and he took off. That's what you have to do. You have to tailor an offense around him. Keep him in the shotgun. Put him under center very little. Get him outside the pocket. Just do what he did at Oklahoma. I mean, look what he did to Alabama. He struggled in the first half, and then he went to work in the second half versus Alabama, versus that NFL caliber type of defense. And so you have to tailor your offense around him. You have to make it work. If you draft him high, you have to.
I've seen a couple of mock drafts, and none of them have him in the top 10.
Well, I don't care about any mock drafts.
I'm just saying. I'm asking.
When you talk about tailoring the offense around a player, we act like that's some foreign thing to do. This is what coaches should do.
When
you have, they don't all do it, though.
You're right. They don't. But when I look at the league, NFL snaps under center, 37% all of last year. 62% of snaps are in shotgun. So we make it seem like there's going to be this big change in the NFL if a team acquires Kyler Murray and we're going to see a completely different offense. No, we're not. We're going to see the same thing that everybody else is doing predominantly in the National Football League, which is run shotgun. That's where he thrives. That's where you're going to have him to be most successful and possibly get the best bang for your buck. But what he does is electrifying, and it outweighs his height. He's been able to prove that my height doesn't matter. It at college, at every level that he's been at, he's been this height or shorter. He hasn't been any taller, and he hasn't gone to any other higher level of play. So at every level, he has proven my height does not matter. And so now all of a sudden, because it is the NFL and things change because dollars come into it, I'm making an investment in you now. So the way I evaluate you is going to be different. And I said this earlier, we all are going to get labeled with something to devalue what it is we're bringing to the table. That's all this is all about, and it's not been done before, but it doesn't mean that Kyler Murray won't be the one to break the mold, and then now we see this influx of shorter quarterbacks coming into the National Football League.
I mean, to your point, the NFL is now it's more, you know, wide open for these types of quarterbacks. I mean, the difference between Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray is this. It's like not even a full inch. That's about an inch.
Yeah, but you talked about the thickness, right?
Yeah, Russell Wilson is he's about size.
He's about 210.
But Kyler's not a he's narrow. Like, we had him on our show, and he had a little meat to him. I mean, a football player, you're going to have something to you. But he seemed like he had a good build to when we had him on the radio show. But anyway, like, the Giants aren't the team that because they might not pick him. If they pick Dwayne Haskins, I have no problem with that because I like Haskins as a quarterback. And he obviously is that more traditional, you know, pass, drop back passer type NFL quarterback. He's got the size. But the Giants, this quote about Kyler Murray, that just may show that they still don't know what they're doing. Because I thought a couple years ago, well, last year, when they didn't draft a quarterback, when you had all those quarterbacks in the draft, they could have. We both think they should have taken Sam Darnold. They still think Eli's got, you know, how many more years left?
Jamie, he's done.
And I'm just saying, like, the Giants, I would look more at the Giants' track record and say, yeah, that just shows they still don't know what they're doing. Then I look at Kyler Murray and say, he's not going to be.
Yeah, you can say that. They have won a couple of Super Bowls, and they've beat the 18-0 Patriots, and they beat
Tom Brady
twice.
Thank you, Rob.
That's all. I'm just saying. You can poo-poo them all you want.
Did they make the right decision last year?
No, they just
did.
Yes,
they did.
No,
when you get the rookie of the year and you draft the running back that's going to give you production for at least 6, 7, 8 years, that's a great pick.
But it didn't
change. How the hell would win?
Right, it didn't change their winning stature. He put up all those numbers.
If they draft Sam Darnold, do they win more games?
But you have a more important position.
Yes.
Running backs, some of the all-time greatest running backs have never won at a high level.
You guys are right.
We could go through the list.
Sam Darnold, the Jets were in the playoffs this year.
Right.
They were in contention
I'm just saying, by virtue of the importance of the position, you guys know. How far did O.J. Simpson get in terms of winning games in his career?
And see, this is the thing.
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders didn't win anything.
But this is what happens.
But you can't say that he was the wrong choice because of
his. He had a great year.
Potentially he did. And he should have been Rookie of the Year. But I'm not just trying to build rookies of the year. I'm trying to win games.
And they're going to get a quarterback this year.
But you had a chance to have five quarterbacks to write.
They have a chance to write it this year.
Maybe they didn't think those quarterbacks were of more value than Saquon Barkley. And now you can get a quarterback this year.
They were in love with the past and Eli Manning, and they let that cloud their judgment.
Right. Could you imagine, though, the type of team speed the Giants would have on offense if they drafted Kyler Murray? You got Kyler Murray, you got Saquon Barkley, you got OBJ. They'd be unreal.
If they can right the ship, I'd be happy.
We weren't supposed to be talking about Saquon in this segment. I love you, Saquon. TJ, thank you for getting here. Appreciate it. No mercy.
February isn't just about one super-sized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, off-seasons, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yeah, that's a real sport. Look it up. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest trade rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify. Because the best offense is a good podcast. No
mercy. Kareem Hunt was signed by the Browns yesterday on a reported one-year deal. Hunt was released by the Chiefs in December after video surfaced of him shoving and kicking a woman last February. Hunt is currently on the commissioner's exempt list and is not eligible to play until the NFL completes its investigation into the incident. Hunt led the league in rushing his rookie season and had 14 total touchdowns in 11 games last season before being released. Greg, let's start with you on this one. What's your reaction to the signing of Kareem Hunt?
I was shocked, but in a good way. I think this was a big step for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm okay with it. As a fan, as a spectator, as a this on this side of the media, I'm all about second chances. I'm not condoning what he did. And I think when you look at it from a business perspective in the Cleveland Browns, he had to have shown them specifically being John Dorsey and their owner, a level of contrition that gave them and provided them with a comfort level that said, we can bring this guy in-house. Because with all that the Cleveland Browns have had to deal with in years prior, in their past, with off-the-field issues, they understand the magnitude of acquiring a guy like Kareem Hunt with what he's bringing as far as his situation. But when I look at why teams make decisions and how teams make decisions, there's three elements. There must be a level of intrigue, and that's your production. What can you provide for me from a talent base? And then when you see that, man, I'm intrigued. I know I like what you do. Obviously, John Dorsey drafted this young man. He sat down with him. He was around him a lot. He understands what he's getting in bed with. So he's intrigued by all of that. Then there has to be a relationship. The relationship is there with John Dorsey. So he knows this guy, he wasn't this way. I didn't see this in him. And I'm willing to give him a second chance. It's not that he's in agreement with it or not, or he's picking sides. He's trying to make a good business decision to advance what he's in charge of, which is the Cleveland Browns and running that organization. And then there has to be a trust level, and that's completely on Kareem Hunt. This is a huge deal for the National Football League as well as the Cleveland Browns because, number one, with the league still having to do their due diligence, he's not going to be able to play right away. We don't know where that they are in that, and that process has to be ironed out. But Kareem Hunt has now put himself in a position where I've been given a second chance. Now I have to show that they can trust me. And how do you do that? And what better way to do it than, number one, where it happened, where you are from, basically where you're from, where you went to college, and now you're going to be playing on this team in this same state with this all looming over your head. Can I trust that Kareem Hunt will get this done and make right and make sure that he's doing all the steps necessary to show that level of contrition, not only to us, but to the state of Ohio, to this young lady, to others outside that are going to be looking at us like, what are you guys doing? I think this is a good move for Cleveland because they're looking at it from a lens of, man, his production, the relationship that I have, and can I trust him? I believe I can, but that's up to Kareem Hunt. We'll see how it plays out.
I'm a believer in second chances. I'm not one of these guys who don't think people don't make mistakes and should get opportunities, especially, you know, he's a young guy, 23 years old, talented football player, but shame on the Cleveland Browns for doing it as soon as they did. And that's my biggest issue is I think they should have waited a little bit longer. It almost feels to me like, yes, he got released by Kansas City, but because he's a good player, they're going to bend over backwards to right away. Not like he got it. He didn't get away with it, but it doesn't feel like he suffered as much as he probably should have. That right away, he missed five games a year ago. Hear me out. And I think that there becomes, I get the talent part, and I understand it's football. You're trying to get the best players. Cleveland hasn't won anything. Here's a chance to get a top running back for nothing and give it a whirl. Dorsey has a relationship with them. But I understand what Kansas City did even more. Kansas City had a chance to win a Super Bowl. Kansas City, right? And they decided, we listened to you, we backed you when this whole thing went down. You told us one story, we saw a different video. And despite us trying to win a Super Bowl, we would rather not have some integrity and not win with you, even though you would give us a better chance to win. I just think Cleveland jumped the gun.
So you're saying that the Cleveland Browns aren't showing integrity because they acquired a
team? I think that they waited. They did it too quickly, too soon. I just think I would rather, let's see what the NFL comes.
What would have been appropriate?
Well, I would.
Not appropriate timeline in your mind.
I think I just would have waited. He probably would probably have to sit out the season that's coming up, and then maybe I would take a look
if the league suspended him six games to start.
Well, after the league suspended him or gave him something.
I just think
it's too soon. That's it. It doesn't feel good to me.
I'm more with Greg. Obviously, none of us up here condone what he did, but he has suffered some punishment already. He was cut from a Super Bowl contender and received none of that money for those five games at the end of the regular season and the playoffs. So he's already missed, eight games? Well, two playoff games for them? So seven games. That's more than an Ezekiel Elliott, was punished. So he's already had some punishment, and he's likely
going to
get another six.
But Ezekiel Elliott's punishment came from the league. This was from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Whatever.
It's totally different.
Punishment.
No,
they both suffered punishment.
No, but it's a totally different.
My point is
that the league hasn't lended down.
No, right.
He's going to end up missing
it's gonna be more than
13 games because of this, and I'm fine with that. But my point is he's already suffered some punishment, and he's going to suffer more. So for the Cleveland Browns to take him, I don't have a problem with that. And I also think that from a football perspective, it was a smart move because there's nobody in the NFL that thought Kareem Hunt, unless he just was unremorseful and things like that, and he's in counseling and everything. So it seems like he's doing all the right things.
But they did this with Josh Gordon. They bent over backwards time and time again, and it wound up biting.
Okay, that's a whole
different situation. This is a new regime. This is a new regime. You can't put that completely on
John Dorsey wasn't there last year?
He was there.
Oh, okay.
He was there. Is Josh Gordon there?
No, but I'm saying, he wasn't there last year before he went.
But you can't, because it didn't work with Josh
Gordon. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
it won't work with this
kid. But he drafted Tyreek Hill, and there's a couple others. He seems as if he's one of these guys who's willing to take a chance. And I'm not against Kareem Hunt getting a second chance, so I want to make that very clear. I just think, and it feels like it's too soon to make this move, and they're the team that decided that they could get a good player and they wanted to jump on him before anybody else. Other teams looked at him and obviously passed for other reasons to say that they're not. I don't agree. Bob Quinn, the general manager of the Lions, decided that they would rather, what they claimed, would rather not bring him to their team and would rather have a spot for somebody. I think his quote was, they wanted to bring good people in is what he used the term. So all I'm saying is, it doesn't feel good to me.
At some point, somebody was going to pull
the
trigger. Right, next year, right after those
six
games.
So when they pull the trigger, nobody cares about when you pull the trigger.
So if they pulled the trigger the day after he was suspended, you would be okay with that?
No, because I'll answer your question. I'm going to tell you why. Because one, he would not have already gone through any counseling. Two, he would not have already suffered any punishment. He suffered punishment and been in counseling. I mean, that's what you do to try to rehabilitate somebody. He's punished and he's counseled.
If he was no good.
How often does that work?
I think sometimes, I don't know the numbers, but well, I'll tell you what I think is very powerful. The power of social stigma. The power of social stigma. There are people still in America who are racist, but because it's a heavy social stigma attached to it, they won't do it or say it publicly. And I think, hopefully, he's had a heart change. But if it's just, man, I'm not going through all this trouble that I went through, you know, last time. If that's what it takes to stop him from doing it and change his behavior, then that's better than nothing. So I think I like the fact that with domestic violence now, there's becoming, it should have always been there, but there's becoming such a social stigma. You are viewed as such a negative person that I think that serves as a deterrent. It won't for everybody, but it will for a lot of people.
Is it, though? Are we looking at it as you're such a bad person, there's a social stigma?
It's not where it should be,
but no. Are we desensitized?
No, I think it's. I think there's a growing stigma. I don't think it's where it should be, but I definitely think it's a growing stigma about it. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, Rob said it. They had a chance to win the Super Bowl. They cut him like that.
Immediately because, well, he had lied to them, and they decided that winning a Super Bowl with him wasn't as important than having some
At that point, you're not thinking about winning the Super Bowl. You're making the best decision you feel like you need to make from a lot of different vantage points, a PR standpoint, what's going to take away from our team, what are we going to bring in, what it's going to bring to our team in our locker room and the players that are going to have to answer these questions. So let's remove that. And that was their choice.
But I think when you look at this, if you're a player in the NFL and you're a good player, you know you're going to be able to get opportunity to continue
well,
to play.
And with him being with him being so young.
No, I get the 20. He's a young guy.
I mean, there are a lot of people. I'm not going to just say athletes. I mean, the baseball player, the pitcher for the Milwaukee Bucks, Hader, the Brewers last year. What came out with him, well in his past, but it came out, and it's like, are we still going to hold him to that? People change. It is a thing to change.
If you want to say that if anybody does something like this, they shouldn't play. I'm not into that.
I don't live in that world.
But that's what you kind of brought up. If you know you're a good player,
no, I just think that there's more opportunity where people will accept some things because you can still play. We saw, everybody talks about the Ray Rice. The reason Ray Rice never played again wasn't just because of videos, because he couldn't play. He was already on the downside. Would you agree with that?
That's
why he didn't play. But if he could have still played, don't tell me that there might not have been somebody who would have overlooked that video.
That's where that level of intrigue, what can you still provide from a production perspective.
I hope that we all believe in second chances, and I hope that he doesn't learn his lesson only because it hit him in the pocket.
Right.
No mercy.
The NBA is looking into possible tampering by Magic Johnson once again after it was revealed that Ben Simmons sought him out for advice. Magic said Sunday that Simmons reached out to the Lakers to see if they could get together this summer. Sixers GM Elton Brand nixed that idea over a month ago. This is the fourth time the word tampering has been mixed with Magic since he became president of the Lakers. This all comes on the heels of Magic and the Lakers striking out on their pursuit of Anthony Davis before the trade deadline. So, Chris, let's get you going on this one. Are you starting to lose faith in Magic Johnson and his ability to run the Lakers?
Look, this is Magic just being Magic. You know, I mean, he's a personable guy. And he knows a lot of guys around the league, especially the young players. And, you know, they look up to him, obviously, because he's such a great player.
He's an icon.
He's an icon, right. And so, and, you know, when he's been on Jimmy Kimmel and on the baseball show with David Ortiz and A-Rod, that's just Magic. It's almost like if you ask him about it, he's going to probably tamper because he's going to be himself and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a good look. He does have to temper that down. However, losing faith? No. No, not one iota, and here's why. Number one, he got LeBron James. He got LeBron James. Now, I believe LeBron wanted to go there anyway, but if the Lakers had still been run by Jim Buss and the front office was still viewed as a mess, I'm not sure LeBron would have gone there even if he had wanted to, because he does value a strong, solid front office. And when Magic came in and hired Rob Pelinka, he gave the Lakers a degree of credibility that was acceptable to LeBron James. And even if you think, well, he would have came anyway, it happened under Magic's watch. So like everything else, we give you credit for it. So he got LeBron James number one. Number two, he drafted Kyle Kuzma, 27th. If there's one bright spot about the Lakers outside of LeBron, what is it? Kyle Kuzma. He got him with the 27th pick. He got Josh Hart with the 30th pick. Like, this notion that Magic is just making a mess of the Lakers is ridiculous. He's brought them back to relevance. If you don't like, and I'm not one that doesn't like Luke Walton, but if you don't like Luke Walton, if you don't like Brandon Ingram, guess what? That happened before Magic. That's not his issue. They were here before Magic Johnson. And I also was hearing before the trade deadline, Magic's on the clock. There's pressure on Magic to get this done before the deadline. I mean, yeah, of course he wanted to get it done, but pressure, it wasn't like it was right there for the taking and he really had a great chance of making it happen. I mean, he can't force the New Orleans Pelicans to make a trade. So I didn't think it was a slight or a knock on Magic Johnson that they didn't end up getting Anthony Davis before the trade deadline. We knew, Rob and I, we were like, I think the Pelicans would have been nuts to trade Anthony to the Lakers before the deadline. So I just think that a lot of people, if you step back and look at the situation, the Lakers have missed the playoffs, what, the last 5 or 6 years. Most people believe they will be back in the playoffs, and I think they'll be back in short order.
Not me.
Yeah, we know. But but Magic, look, and if they don't get a free agent, is it going to be a failure? I mean, obviously you want to get one, but you still have LeBron. You still have some good young players that may develop. And, you know, then you start maybe making trades or maybe they will get a free agent. We have to see what this summer brings.
The free agent is a must.
Well, it's a must to compete for a championship. But I'm saying if they don't get it, then what? You don't throw in the towel, and it doesn't mean they fail.
You can never throw in the towel, but I think that's a major problem.
Well, okay, let's go. Let me, since you brought that up.
You brought it up.
No, it takes time. It takes time. Danny Ainge, Trader Danny, he's viewed as one of the best president front office people in the NBA. He's been in Boston since 2003. He's got one championship. And in Boston, and as in LA, that's how you measure success. Yeah, it's not being in the playoffs perennially. It's not having a lot of draft picks and
young players.
But prior
to that one championship, they had a 19-year drought in Boston. So Danny Ainge.
So what? He still won championship.
I get it.
Even if they didn't have any, he's brought them one championship in, what is that? 15 years.
I think you're poo-pooing the whole idea that if Magic doesn't win a championship with LeBron, it's a total failure in Los Angeles.
How's it on total, Magic or on LeBron?
On Magic.
Is the whole thing,
if they can't get the other pieces to go with LeBron, it's going to be on Magic.
LeBron's not 25 years old.
No.
So
they didn't bring him here.
You're trying to put the pieces around him now.
But it's going to be on Magic. They both bear some responsibility. But if they don't win the championship, it's going to be more on Magic than on LeBron?
If Magic can't get the pieces.
And the question is, have we lost faith or we're starting to lose faith in Magic?
Thank you for bringing us back.
Yeah, absolutely. and it's losing faith in Magic, that's a strong statement.
Sure.
But I am starting to question, where are you taking us if I'm the Lakers and I'm the Laker fan base? Because you said with the draft, Lonzo Ball, we took him first. You know what? This kid, his jersey is going to be in the rafters. We don't really believe that. You don't really believe that.
Again, Magic being Magic.
Hold on.
That's all there was.
He drafted Kyle Kuzma, a very bright spot. Last week, I'm going to see you later, Kuzma, if I can get this guy, Anthony Davis. So he was willing to package him and Lonzo and a bunch of other guys on that roster and some draft picks to get Anthony Davis.
But hold on. Anthony Davis.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, what is your strategic plan? Like LeBron has accelerated everything that Magic thought was going to take. You know, we got time. This is a process. Yeah, but when you bring in a piece like LeBron James, the expectations immediately go through the roof. And I don't think Magic nor anybody else around understood the magnitude of acceleration that was going to hit the Los Angeles Lakers acquiring a LeBron James. Because even LeBron James, you know what, it's the process. You know, we got to, it's a learning curve. We got to get these guys in jail. You know, I'm coming here. Yeah, we're not going to win right away. You think they still believe that? That's not the way they're carrying themselves. They're carrying themselves as if, you know, we're scrambling. We're trying to figure it out on the fly now because Paul George fell through. We thought we would have acquired Paul George. He was the first available. He could have came right now. Then Jimmy Butler's like, I don't know if I want to go over there. Kawhi Leonard, I don't want to. I would rather go to the Clippers. All these superstars who we thought would be an attraction because we got LeBron James. We got the greatest superstar. They're all now saying, you know what? I kind of want to do it on my own. And so you have to start to question Magic. Like, okay, Magic, what's your strategy now? Because you have what you have, and you have a window. Rob, to your point, you said this yesterday. LeBron is there for 4 years. And if we're in this mystery land, or la-la land, or fantasy world, believing that, and I'm a LeBron lover, that LeBron is going to be the same LeBron that he was last year, this year, and next year, and the years after, we're kidding ourselves. Magic understands that. I need somebody right now. And so am I losing faith in Magic? I'm not losing faith, but I'm starting to question, I need to see where we're going. I need to see how we're going to get there because you're the decision maker and it's accelerated all of a sudden because of LeBron James.
I'm with you. I think, let's just be honest, Chris, instead of calling him Magic Johnson, he should be Tragic Johnson for the way he's run the front office to this point. And hear me out, Chris Broussard. Along with Lonzo Ball and his jersey and all that, if you were to redo the draft now, Lonzo Ball wouldn't be the second pick. Not even close. Not only that, he'd be picked higher. Okay. And that's a good pick. I'm not going to knock him for that. But the other part is the Paul George thing. That is the biggest one where Magic swung and missed. And it's ultimately going to be the demise and the reason why the Lakers don't win. Because he just assumed that Paul George was coming. Because that's what the talk was for 2 years. So people like to be pursued. People want to be sought after, right? And made to feel special. No, Magic wanted his cake and he was going to eat it too. He said, we don't have to do anything. Paul George is coming, right? So we don't have to do anything. And instead of going out and making that trade or pursuing him and saying, dude, we want you. You're a big piece of what we're doing. He didn't do that. So he went to OKC. He had the barbecue. And Russ was nice to him. And he loved how everything was going there. And he wound up staying. He turned down his hometown. He's from what, Palmdale?
Palmdale.
He turned down L.A., LeBron, Magic, his family, his friends to stay in OKC for Westbrook, who Durant couldn't wait to get away from.
In all fairness, Palmdale's a little more like OKC.
Oh, is that
a little bit.
I'm out there.
And you are sorely underrated.
Hold on.
Oklahoma City.
Okay.
The town. It's a nice, quaint town.
Very nice. But because of that, had he gotten Paul George to go with LeBron, then he would be able to keep his young core and not have to make a trade. Now he has to give those pieces up in order to get a guy. There's no guarantee. The track record is bad for LeBron getting anybody to come play with him. And now Magic's in that boat, too, trying to get some. They're scrambling. Greg, 100%. They're desperate. Their move with AD and trying to get this done by the trade deadline and putting out all those names of all the players. That was a desperation move.
Well, they didn't
move.
Put those names.
No, but I'm just saying that they were willing to give up everybody.
And they have to be in this position because when you are the Los Angeles Lakers and guys are saying, you know what, I'll pass.
Or I'll go to the Clippers.
I'll go somewhere. I'll pass. You have to try to trade to get somebody to bring them in, because if I leave it up to them, Paul George said, I'll pass. We're looking at other guys who are saying that they potentially will pass. And so, yes, I am going to be in scramble mode. I do need to try to figure something out right now because I don't know if anybody's going to come because, again, just like he made the Raptors comment about Lonzo Ball, he also said we have enough to pay two superstars. Well, and they do, right, and they did. Right. But now it's looking like we only got one, and nobody else wants to come.
The best point you made is obviously the Paul George point, especially the way he's playing now. I mean, if you had him on the team now, right there, I mean, maybe not right with the Warriors, but close. They'd be right there with anybody else in the league. But to your point, Greg, a wise front office does shift. Like, when they drafted Lonzo and Kuzma and all these, it was, you were on this get some good young players and let's build around them. Now, obviously, Magic overstated, you know, Lonzo's greatness and all that, talking about the Raptors and challenging his records and all that. But again, that's kind of Magic overstating things and being Magic. But once you get LeBron, yeah, everything changes. And it's not like Magic knew for a fact when he took over the Lakers, we're getting LeBron next year. So I think it was wise. And again, I understand. I'm not saying he's Jerry West or anything like that. But I think it's wise, and I don't think it's a knock against the front office when we were going young. But now we got LeBron, so now we're trying to go big. I mean, you guys are acting like it's a negative that he's willing to trade Lonzo and Kyle Kuzma and so on and so forth. Again, bringing up Danny Ainge. He's going to be willing to trade off a lot of his good young players, too, for Anthony Davis. And so...
But if Magic would have made the right move, to point, he wouldn't even have to do that.
But again, you don't know for a fact that he would have got Paul George.
Yeah, but
Could he have courted him more?
He didn't put in the effort that he needed.
But that doesn't mean it would have happened. Oklahoma City had a whole year, and Russell and George really built a bond together.
But if you told me that Magic did put in the work on Paul George and then he turned him down, I don't have an issue with it. I think he thought it was a foregone conclusion and he overlooked him and that's why they lost now. Mm-hmm. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here with a word from TurboTax. It's nice to have a helping hand, especially when it's tax season and that hand is attached to a licensed tax professional. With TurboTax Live, you can talk to real CPAs and EAs on demand who can review your return with you before you file and make sure you get your maximum refund. They can even check your work line by line so you can be confident it's done right. Who knew confidence and peace of mind could be synonymous with taxes? TurboTax Live with CPAs and EAs on demand. See details at TurboTax.com. No
mercy. We'll switch gears a little bit, but keep with the NBA conversation because two of the hottest players in the NBA were at it again last night. And we're talking about Russell Westbrook setting an NBA record with his 10th straight triple-double in the Thunder win. Russ is on pace to average triple-double for the third year in a row. Meanwhile, James Harden extended his 30-point game streak to appropriately 30 games in last night's win. Harden only had 20 points with under 3 minutes left in regulation, but he scored 11 points to close it out and extend that streak. So, Rob, we'll start with you. I feel like this is a tough one, but which streak is more impressive, Harden or Westbrook?
And I'm not knocking Westbrook because I think that's incredible. It really is. But Harden... Here's my biggest thing. To be able to score 30 points, 30 games in a row in the NBA is incredible. And here's the best part. They're 21-9 in those games. That to me, that seals it. And I know OKC's playing well as well, but you also have Paul George. He's basically doing this by himself, and that's what the most impressive thing is. I think Harden right now is the best player in the NBA. And I know a lot of people want to go back and go, well, look at the playoffs, and he hasn't won anything. I'm talking about right here, right now.
Like at this moment, this week.
Right now. I know you always trying to knock me when I say that.
Let's change it every month. It was Giannis in
No, it wasn't Giannis. It's right now. I've been saying this.
It was Embiid in February.
No, it wasn't. Last year, this guy was the MVP of the league, and he's done nothing but continue. When Chris Paul went out, he was still doing his thing. James Harden, I get it. He's not a complete player. He's not going to play defense. He's not going to do. Does he help you win, Greg Jennings?
Absolutely.
He helped you win, Chris Broussard.
don't act like I'm anti-Harden.
Right? That's what he does. And so I'm just saying right here, just for once, let down your guard. Don't all you LeBron people, oh, Harden ain't no greatest player ever. He never won a championship. He don't defend. He don't do this. He don't do that. I'm talking about right now, pound for pound. Right now, he's the best player in the NBA. He's better than Kevin Durant. He's better than LeBron James. Period.
Okay. All right. The question was, which streak is more important? And look, I love James Harden. I think James Harden should be working on his third MVP. And I put my vote behind my mouth. I voted for him in 2015 when Steph Curry won his first MVP. Voted for him last year. And right now, he's going to get my vote this year. So nothing at all against James Harden. He's doing something historic. Anytime you did something that Michael Jordan didn't do, and in Jordan's specialty, all right? He's not getting more assists than Jordan.
Right, Jordan
he's
was
not getting more rebounds. Jordan was a scorer. Kobe was a scorer, and he's doing something scoring-wise that they couldn't do. So this is tremendous for Harden. But to have to pick between the two, I have to go with Westbrook. And here's what he's averaging the triple-double.
It sounds like you were Harden right
now. Well, because they're both great, all right? But Westbrook's averaged 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 13 assists in these 10 straight triple-doubles. And here's one of the reasons, the first reason I pick Westbrook's streak over Harden's. Anytime you do something in the NBA or any sport that no one in history has done, somebody's done what Harden's done. Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, as great as Harden's 30-point games are, Wilt's streak was 65.
Yeah, but it was a different NBA.
He's not even halfway there, okay? You brought up a different NBA. That's right. And still, Wilt didn't do what Westbrook's done. Wilt had 9 straight triple-doubles. Westbrook's got 10. Wilt put up numbers that were just cartoonish. We never thought we'd see anybody challenge his numbers. And not only has Westbrook challenged some of them, he broke the record. Anytime you do that, something no one else has done, that gives you the edge. Number two, you brought up Houston's 21-9. OKC is 9-1 in these 10 games. 21-9 is great. 9-1 is even better. And then Westbrook, because it's a triple-double, Harden's impact, you're right, he's leading them to wins, but he's not impacting the game in all the different areas like Westbrook. Westbrook's rebounding. Westbrook's passing. Now, so is Harden, but he's passing a lot more.
But also, who's the best player on Westbrook's team?
Right now, it's been Paul George.
Okay, that's another
thing. But here's the thing. Because of Westbrook is helping Paul George be the best player on his team by changing his mentality and passing. And not only is Paul George having the best streak or season of his career, in these 10 games that Westbrook's averaged a triple-double, Paul George is averaging 37 points, 8.5 rebounds on 50% shooting. Fabulous. Dennis Schroeder, 17 points on 51% shooting. Steve Adams, 13 points, 61% shooting. And Jeremy Grant, 14 points on 50% shooting. My point is that all four of these guys, except maybe Adams, because those numbers are what he averaged, what he does generally. Three of these guys have been able to elevate their games because of the way Westbrook is playing. So Harden is just putting the team on his back.
Because he has
to,
though.
I'm the man, and I'm carrying y'all. Westbrook is doing it a different way by I'm helping y'all get involved, and we carrying each other. And so I think Westbrook's is more.
I'm going to say something that's absolutely forbidden. First time ever. Both of them are equally as impressive.
You gotta pick
I'm
a side.
I'm not picking
pick
a side.
We know
Jones.
They're both great.
I'm not.
You can't bail out like that.
And I'm gonna tell you right now.
You can't come on the show, wear that shirt, and then say
right.
That.
This
exactly.
is all
I can do. What I want, when I want.
Undisputed chance.
Exactly. And I'm. Going
what do you think? This is first
and
take.
I'm settling it right now. They're both equally impressive because to your argument. He is the best player on Harden, he being that guy. James Harden is the best player on his team, and he has to do this. And it's almost as though if he doesn't do this, we don't know where the Houston Rockets are. We don't even know if they're in the playoff hunt with the start that they had and how they were performing until James Harden decided, you know what, let me kick into this gear. Let me go get this MVP. I got to make it's about the team, but it got to be because of me driving this vehicle. And when you look at what Russell Westbrook is doing, it's impressive, yes, that he's the only one who's ever done it, but he's not the best player on his team. Is he making his team better because of the decisions that he's making and because of the numbers that he's putting up? Absolutely. And both teams are right where they want to be when it comes to the playoff hunt. And so I can't sit here and say, oh, Westbrook's is better, because I feel like it's equally as impressive as James Harden. James Harden in this league, with the scoring that is happening across the NBA, it's easy for me to say, you know what, with all the threes that everybody's putting up, Westbrook is going to get more rebounds. But then it's easy for me to say, with the scoring ability that everybody else has, with the style of play, he's going to get more points. So you can argue both sides. That's why I think that I'm going to sit here and be a fan for once and appreciate both of them.
There's not a fraction, a smidgen of a difference, right? Not a dash.
Nothing is absolutely equal.
Yes.
And he actually said Jason McIntyre is coming replacing you for the rest of the show.
Oh, that's bad.
Now I'm gonna tell you now. There's a difference there.
Let me give you to help you. Okay, Westbrook. 21.2 points, lowest since his second season in the NBA.
No, but that's not what we're comparing.
That's a positive for him.
Exactly.
Because now he's dishing.
41%, second worst of his career. 24% from three, second worst in his career. Free throw shooting, worst in his career, 65. All I'm saying is, yes, he's getting the triple-doubles, 10 in a row, whatever, but he's not playing nearly as well. I'm talking about totally.
But see, that's
not as well.
This is where sometimes stats lie to you.
He's playing more of an all-around game.
Because it's not those numbers that we're focusing on. It's because of those numbers, how crazy it sounds, why OKC is where they are.
It's more about Paul George, though. Harden is the reason that George, you cannot poo-poo what he's doing.
No, not at all. I mean, he's in the MVP race ahead of Westbrook, but why is he enabled to do what he's doing? Because Westbrook has learned and is now giving him the ball, even late in games, which he generally didn't do with even Kevin Durant.
I get it.
Growth and maturity on Westbrook's part.
But there's no doubt in my mind that it would be Harden number one and Westbrook number two when we talk about this.
And Paul George
definitive.
Triple-double last night, too.
I knew you wouldn't like that.
You know I don't like no sitting the fence. No way.
Even if it means being wrong.
Exactly.
Chris, you know about like being that. Wrong. You've like been wrong that. A lot on the radio show.
Just the ninth time in NBA history last night that two guys on the same team had a triple-double.
There it is again.
You know the other time it happened? Yeah, ninth time in history. It also happened previously this season, though.
Did it?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Who was it, Lonzo or LeBron?
Lonzo, in December.
I was just going to say that. Lonzo
get you guys
LeBron.
Going again.
That's a nice feather in Lonzo's cap.
That was fun, you guys.
Rafters.
We're going to have to get
Jersey.
You to pick a side, though.
Pick a side.
No mercy.
Well, the Warriors need Kevin Durant more than KD needs them. That's according to a recent column on Bleacher Report. KD can become a free agent at the end of the year, and speculation is he will leave Golden State for the Knicks this summer. Durant got salty with the media when the subject was brought up last week. He's won two NBA titles and was named Finals MVP twice with the Warriors. But the article says the only way for him to cement his legacy is to win a title on his own. So, Rob, let's start with you.
Did you say KD was salty? I think Planners is on the phone for him.
He's pretty good with these one-liners. Do you think that Broussard is not impressed?
I've heard that 78
times. Don't give away my stuff on TV.
At least twice a week I hear that on the radio.
What do you think? Does KD need to do this to cement his legacy?
I think he does. Deep down, Kevin Durant knows, as great of a career as he's had, the two championships over LeBron, right, and all of the other stuff, he knows people will never give him full credit because he joined the Warriors, who had already won a championship without him, had already won 73 games without him. So in order for you, and we saw Clyde Frazier, right, what he talked about, an asterisk, I don't believe in that, but he brought
up
his
mental asterisk.
Right, but here's one of these all-time great players saying, well, he went to that team, how could he not win? They had already won a championship. And it doesn't take away his ability on how good he is. But you're right. There are a lot of people who just won't give him that full endorsement because they know he had a loaded deck or stacked deck. You go to the Knicks and you go and bring another player and what they have, there's some pieces, and you make a run or win a championship or get to the finals, then people would look at you and go, wait a minute, KD led this team. The Knicks haven't won a championship. The last time was 1973. Greg, sports writers were using typewriters when the Knicks won a championship, not laptops. That's how long ago it was. But if he was able to go and do that, you would have to give him his due and say, not only did he get to the championship with Russell Westbrook and OKC, they got there and lost to LeBron. He went to Golden State, and if they win again this year, which we expect, he won three in a row, right? And say he wins the finals MVP for a third year in a row. Right. You would go, he did that. Then he took his career, went to New York, a perennial loser, bright lights, big stage, right? And got them a championship for the first time in 50 years. He would be validated. His ticket would be punched. People would say, this dude is one of the greatest players who ever played.
Well, I think they're going to say that anyway. Yeah.
Well, but
that,
I think that
last that, part. But I don't disagree with what you're saying, but he's going. He's all-time great, regardless.
No, he is, but it would...
It would raise him up a level.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he has to do this, and I personally think he needs to do it for himself. I think this is has more to do with Kevin Durant and how he feels and views himself because of how everybody else is viewing him. When he was in OKC and he was unable to get over that hump of Golden State and he joined the Golden State Warriors, there was pressure on him even then because they had won to make sure that they won again. Not as much pressure as it would be if he goes to the Knicks and goes on his own. And I personally don't believe he has to win the championship. Just make them relevant every year in New York. I don't think he has to win a championship. If you make the New York Knicks relevant,
which they haven't been,
the last time they were even in the postseason was 2013. And so if you make them a constant show in the playoffs and then potentially it works out and you win a championship, that's icing on the cake. I don't think he has to do something like this to stamp his legacy. His legacy is already stamped and engraved. He's a great player. Everybody respects that. But what they don't respect is how he did it and why, how he did it and where he had to do it and who he did it with. If he continues to stay in Golden State, that's fine too. But I think for him, he needs to do this for himself because LeBron James, he went and he teamed up with Miami and D-Wade and Chris Bosh and he won. But what he did was went back to Cleveland.
Cleveland was the one that capped.
That's the biggest championship. That's the one that
made in Miami.
And when you think about Kevin Durant, everything.
No, I mean, that's what he said.
Everything that Kevin Durant shows us is that I got to one-up LeBron.
And he cares about the court of public opinion.
I got to one-up LeBron.
Yeah, selfishly, I hope he goes to New York with Kyrie this summer.
You just crushed all the people in Boston.
I know. I'm sorry, Boston fans. They'll still be good, right? They showed that last year. They think they don't need Kyrie. You think they don't need Kyrie, right?
I didn't say they don't need him. I said they are still good without him.
Selfishly, I would like to see KD and Kyrie go to New York and make the Knicks a contender.
That would be special.
Best for his legacy, I think, is this. I don't know, is the tension in Golden State? Are they just going to be doing enough to get through it this year, win this third ring, and then maybe KD's out? I get it if that's the situation. But looking from the outside in, I would like to see him, assuming they win it this year, stay in Golden State one more year, open up the new arena in San Francisco, go for your fourth straight championship. Because all the players KD's compared to, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Tim Duncan, none of them won four straight. Nobody outside of Bill Russell, as far as legendary individual players, has won four straight rings. He is competitive, to your point, with LeBron. He thinks he's better than LeBron, and I like that in KD. He wants everybody else to know and think he's better than LeBron. That is a feather in your cap, because LeBron had 4 years in Miami with a stacked team, and they only won two. If he can say, I went to Golden State.
If it wasn't for Ray Allen, it would have been one.
Right. If I went to Golden State and we won four straight, yeah, it was stacked. I get it. And even more stacked than Miami.
But
I get it. But still, we won our four straight. And maybe he would be the final.
But you don't always.
And then after that, you leave and go to New York.
Now, but it might be a timing thing, right?
I agree. The timing thing might work out.
Because Kyrie is available. Yeah. He would want to know you're coming for sure. Right.
I would even say, look, and I know it'd be tampering, but look, they're tampering all over the place in NBA. If I'm KD and he wanted to do this.
You're just saying
even
tampering.
If you're going to go to New York. Like, if you're like, if he says, you know what, Chris, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that.
He might hit you up.
Tell New York. Tell him. Tell Kyrie, look. I am coming in 2020. I just want to win four straight. I will be there. Save me the cap room. Kyrie, let's do it in 2020 or whatever. Or AD, whoever his second guy is. But I think KD should do that. Now, the one area I disagree with you guys on is New York. And you know, Rob, you work. No.
We both worked in New York.
I don't want to hear this. Just make them relevant.
No. I'm with
you. I don't want to hear this. Just get them to the finals. You got to win a championship.
I don't do
he made OKC relevant. We know KD can get you there. We know he can get you right on the cusp. Can he carry that team to a championship? And Patrick Ewing does not get as much love as he should.
And he was a great
because
player.
Because he didn't
Very
lead
true.
Him to a championship.
Very true.
Melo let him. Melo had some, you know, that 1 year that he was in the MVP
But they didn't
race,
get to the final.
He went to the second round. Yeah. So I just think that would be the charge.
No, and you know what? Your point is well taken because it is about a championship, especially for an organization that hasn't had one for such a long time. So that wouldn't be a championship is what it's all about. It's just like I said earlier about Magic and LeBron here in L.A.
Right, right.
You can say all you want. People here expect to win a championship.
I love how you guys think it's so easy to win a championship. He's going to get four in a row this year and next year. It's a lot.
And talking about championships and your point of staying in Golden State for the four straight. I don't know KD. I don't have a relationship with Kevin Durant. But it appears that some of him would say, you know what? I'm not going to allow them. I'm going to leave to see. They need me. How much they really need me? Can they win without me?
So he leaves and then they don't win the fourth in a row.
There may be that. You're right.
That's a good point, Greg.
Jamie, you bring up a good point because we're treating the East – like it was last year or the previous 15.
No, it's tougher
now. If KD.
There's no we. You guys are the ones that said championship. I'm saying relevant.
Okay,
That's why I said relevant because the East is a contender.
Well, point taken. Because if their dream scenario and they get Kyrie and KD or AD, and they got Dennis Smith as a point guard, whatever, there's still no guarantee because now Milwaukee's still there. Philadelphia is there. Boston, I think, will still be good. You know, Indiana's getting better. Like, the East is coming up. So, you're right. Like,
but if you want to be on that greatness level.
Yeah, it's got to be a challenge.
It's got to be a championship.
Of course.
And that's what he would want to do. And that's what I was saying about, not that his career is not validated, but for a lot of people to just say, let go of the Warrior thing and say, he just joined a super team. I'm not really like, of course he should have won. They got all the talent. Like, look at this year.
That's going to follow.
They have five All-Stars, you know. People expect them to win. If you don't win, it's a big story, not whether you win or not.
And I don't know if they can keep up, like, that Golden State team. I mean, another season next. Like, I say go for four, assuming they win this one. That's going to – the mental load of doing
and all those extra games add up to another season or so.
That's why it hasn't been done before because it's just such – after you've won – Jordan had to take a break. Like, we won three straight. I need a break. I'm going playing baseball, you know. So, yeah, it'd be tough to win four straight. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Sports, one of one.